You've talked a lot about your desire for long-term solutions are going to require short-term pain. Can you speak about what short-term pain you have been most affected by, heard about as you've talked with people, or, and also, I guess, have you experienced any of that pain yourself?
Well, here's a simple fact. We need to change direction in the state. We can't only put in a massive tax hike as the speaker has wanted. The last time we did a big tax hike, it was a tragic failure. While we put in the biggest tax hike in Illinois history back in 2011 at the speaker's urging, our credit rating was downgraded 5 times. Our unfunded pension liability went up by $28 billion. We cut school funding. More people left the state at a higher rate. Our economic growth rate was cut to less than half the national average growth. And even our unfunded bill backlog, our unpaid bills, we made barely a dent in paying down the bills. So the tax hike was a failure. So when the speaker says, let's just go back to the 5% income tax to pay for our budget, my response is, doing only that will fail, and we won't work for the people of Illinois. While we are fighting about structural reform and the speaker is resisting change, we don't have a budget, we don't have appropriations, and that impacts people's lives. And I'm furious about it. I'm very frustrated. We're not funding MAP grants right now for low-income kids. Many social services are not being appropriated and paid. Many of the social service agencies are not getting support. I'm furious about it. I'm very frustrated. And the speaker is not even calling the House back into session now at the beginning of the new legislative year. He's waiting a few more weeks. The speaker passed 530 bills last year. None of them really addressed our problems. We've got a huge pension crisis. They didn't do a pension bill. He passed unbalanced spending, and he wouldn't do a tax bill. The speaker is not dealing with the challenges of the state. He's really focused, as far as I can tell, purely on this next election and the election cycle, not on solving the problems for the people of Illinois.
You know, you mentioned MAP grants. So is that something that you're most concerned about, or how do you explain to people? And I realize, yes, it's a different budget line item, but under your leadership, Illinois has previously dipped into other funds, and you have some of that management ability. How do you fund, for example, lottery winners and not low-income students who are trying to go to college, or give more to sexual assault prevention or mental health funding? How do those not get fully funded, and yet the lottery does?
The tragedy is the General Assembly has fundamentally failed to pass a balanced budget and to work with me to get a balanced budget. I've said I'm willing to look at new revenue. I've said will support tax reform if we get structural reforms. And so far, the speaker has just said no, no reforms whatsoever. And he just has passed spending bills with no revenue to pay for it. And that just doesn't work. That's failing the people of Illinois. We can't allow that to happen.
And of course, under your year in office, Illinois has gone more time without a budget than it has with one. You mentioned the name Speaker Michael Madigan often. First of all, he's been around for a very long time. You've pointed to the backwards direction that the state has gone, including with your opponent, Pat Quinn, in the last election. Is it all Mike Madigan? And did you go too far in blaming Illinois' woes on, for example, Pat Quinn or governors of the past? I mean, you haven't been able to overpower Madigan if this is really all his doing.
Well, here's the issue. There has been one constant in Illinois politics for the last 40 years, and that's the speaker. He's been the most powerful politician in the state for decades. And under his watch and with his approval, Illinois has entered into a long period of decline. We've lost jobs. Family incomes have fallen over the last 7 years. We have fewer jobs in Illinois today than we had in 1999. We have the highest property taxes in America, and unfortunately, the speaker has a conflict of interest on that issue.
Have
When
you
he's
brought this
personal
up to
life.
him in person yet? I know you've talked with
Sure,
us.
absolutely.
What does he say? How do those conversations go?
Well, he's reluctant to talk about some of those issues.
Just ignores you?
And the speaker has been the one in charge while the state has been in free fall. and we've got to change direction. Many members of his Democratic caucus agree we need change. They know we need more jobs. They know we need to get a handle on our property taxes. But you know, they will when they run for office, many members of the General Assembly and the Democratic side will speak out against the Chicago political machine and the way it runs Illinois. They'll speak out against Mike Madigan. They'll say they're independent or they're fighting for their districts, and then they quietly vote for Speaker Madigan to be Speaker again, as he has been for decades, and they'll take campaign cash from funds that the Speaker controls. The Speaker has got a lock on the legislative process that's led to this massive decline we're in.
Obviously, you were very successful in private equity. You know better than anybody, sometimes you've got a fold, walk away, it's a bad investment. At what point in time does investing so much political capital and, frankly, social capital in terms of what people are suffering without a budget right now in your turnaround agenda, at what time is it time to give up and move on from that?
Illinois is worth fighting for, and the key to making big change is persistence. You know, democracy is not designed to change quickly. Democracy doesn't allow for rapid, large change. And I know that. I've explained that as I've traveled the state. Big change takes time. But what's clear is we need big change. We can't just nibble around the edges. We can't just put in a massive tax hike like we did in 2011 that failed, and everybody acknowledged, most people acknowledged that it failed. So what we've just got to do is stay the course. You know, one of the most gratifying things, one of the things I enjoy most about my job as governor, is working for the people of the state and driving around the state and meeting with people, talking to people everywhere. And it's so exciting to me and gratifying. People come up to me every day, wherever I go, and they say, "Governor, you're on the right track. Don't back down. Don't give in. Stay the course. You're going the right way. You'll get us there. Don't give in." People say that everywhere I go. And what's fascinating to me is a lot of people will then say, "And by the way, I'm a Democrat, and I know the Speaker's a problem. Don't give in." And then sometimes they'll add, "I'm a big union guy. My boss would be mad if he saw me talking to you, but we need more jobs, and I'm frustrated with the taxes here. Don't back down. We're with you." People say there's a silent majority with us. They're silent, but they're there, and I know that we're going the right way.
And I've heard that as well, but I've also heard just as many people very upset about what is going on. Speaking of that, and you brought up unions, there appears to be an impasse over whether or not there is an impasse with AFSCME negotiations. At what point, you've said things are going badly, and you did not actually declare an impasse or what have you, but at what point will you, if nothing has gotten done in a year's time, when is it going to say, "All right, sorry, we're done negotiating. You want these changes and you're going to get them in whichever way possible"?
Well, you know, when you look at the situation, it's pretty clear. We have agreed on new contracts with 17 unions. And they're innovative, they're good. They're good for the employees, they're good for the taxpayers. We've asked for the same thing, same sort of structure with AFSCME. So far, AFSCME has adamantly refused any of our proposals. And AFSCME has refused to compromise off of their starting position, which was status quo with major increases in compensation and other issues. We've had 67 negotiating sessions with them. It's taken a year. We've really made zero progress with AFSCME. And so our team asked them, and AFSCME last Friday canceled the two negotiating sessions we had scheduled for this week. Our team just asked them, "So do you think we're at impasse?" I'm not sure. I think the union said they don't believe we are. So our team is just trying to assess, where do we go from here? We are spinning our wheels right now and making no progress.
Other than the turnaround agenda, what ideas do you have for economic stimulus downstate?
Oh, I tell you, downstate is suffering from the bad policies that we've had in place in Springfield. The unemployment rate around many of the counties in central and southern Illinois is stunningly high.
So what do you do about it?
Well, you know what? Our agenda, the reforms we proposed, are the key to success. They will make us competitive. They will allow me to compete with Indiana and Iowa and Tennessee and Texas and recruit manufacturing firms, transportation firms. We can get Illinois booming because we've got hardworking people and a great location, but that's exactly what our turnaround agenda is designed to do, is make us competitive so I can grow the economy economies and more jobs in every county in Illinois.
And let's move to Chicago. There's obviously heavy violence there. What are you going to do to stem it? You've cut funding for ceasefire. And further, what are your thoughts on police licensing? Would that be helpful?
There is tragic violence in Chicago. I'm not going to comment about the mayor's failures today about these police shooting incidents. My personal view is the violence stems primarily from lack of opportunity, the lack of a future that these young people see for themselves, and then they turn to gangs and they turn to violence. That's the core problem, and that means schools. That means jobs, and that means supporting families. We have a tragic loss of two-parent families in so many communities. That's the core problem. I have offered the city of Chicago major assistance for their schools. So far, it's been rejected. I've offered to help with the teacher's pension from the state. I've offered to give them structural reform so they can get a handle on their costs in their contract negotiations with the teachers union, so that they don't have to have layoffs. I've offered major assistance, and one of the things I'm proudest of for the state this year, we've got record state support for schools. I've pushed for more state funding for schools. It's at the highest it's ever been in Illinois history. I pushed for that. I'm very proud of that. But so far, Mayor Emanuel has rejected all our reforms, has rejected the assistance, and he's just said to me, Governor, hurry up and do a massive tax hike in Illinois and then send us some of the cash and let me handle it how I want. And I've said to him, Mr. Mayor, you have failed. You have not done any reforms. You've already done a massive tax hike on the people of Chicago. And you need to push for reforms as part of any compromise. Help us get something done for the state and the city of Chicago that benefits everyone, including Chicago students. And I will help you make sure that you don't have to have layoffs in Chicago.
That seems all budgetary, though, not anything to do with violence. And can you also address that question about licensing?
School quality is directly tied to violence because these kids need to have training and education to do well in their post graduation lives. We also need to have a booming economy and our structural reform so we can compete to get manufacturing jobs, transportation companies into the neighborhoods in Chicago. The mayor has failed. There's no job growth and there's job losses in the neighborhoods in Chicago. Our reforms will help improve that. So our reforms will help where Chicago is struggling. In terms of specific policies around licensing or these other issues you're raising, many of those are under review by our team. The core answer is growth, outstanding schools, and helping two-parent families that are struggling.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.